Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware. Because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about someone who is an imagination expert? Tell me, would you like to learn more about this expert who is also an author, an actor, an activist, and most of all, a realist? Have you ever wanted to know how to manage change in your life? Would you like to know how you can make the invisible visible? Can you imagine discovering an owner's guide to the mind? Doesn't that sound fantastic? Tell me, do you know what true leadership means? And when was the last time you heard about a book called Quantum Leap Thinking? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for tonight? Are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest. He is a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm also pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.350 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn has announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is the founder of Quantum Leap Thinking, creator of the Transformational Coach, expert on the psychology of applied imagination. He's a best-selling author, highly acclaimed business speaker, consultant, seminar leader, and personal excellence coach. For over 30 years, he has been an ardent student of human behavior and dedicated to helping individuals, teams, and organizations identify and break through the barriers to reach their goals and achieve success. He encourages people to be open to new ways of thinking, and his goal is to help everyone make the quantum leap towards more creative, productive, and confident life. It is my pleasure to welcome back to our show again, James Mapes. Hi, James. How are you doing today?
Oh, hello, January. It's good to be back. I'm wonderful. It's spring in Connecticut.
And you just flew in from California. Is that right?
Yeah, we went out for a couple reasons. We went out for my first grandson's graduation, and my wife, who you have spoken to, Susan Granger, we met, had two meetings on the new film script I had briefly mentioned on the last show. I completed the last word of the last sentence the Friday before we flew out on Saturday last. So.
Oh, my gosh. How exciting.
Yep. Yes, it is.
But it's always nice to get back home, isn't it?
I more and more. I mean, I have a huge garden, vegetable garden that I will plant in the next few days, and it's great. I love my home, and it's a place where I am extraordinarily creative. You know, flying on planes is not my thing. I read fiction. I'm sorry. Instead of all the sort of research on brain science that I need to read, I was reading the new Dan Brown books.
Good for you. You need to do that once in a while.
Absolutely.
This show is about sharing success stories, and you're so good at doing that. But we like to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So in this first segment, could you share a little with us, what was your earliest memory of success when you were a child or growing up?
Well, I think my earliest memory of success was also tied in with being an overweight, very big, I mean, I'm not talking about, I'm very, very tall, I'm 6'3". And I didn't like sports, don't like sports. So here I am in a small town of Zion, Illinois, and I was brutally picked on. I mean, brutally. I didn't know how to fight. Let me put it this way. I'd never go back for a class reunion. And now, having said that, that led me to, and I had wonderful supportive parents, so I was living in my imagination as a young man. My brother told me, this is very strange. I fly him out every year to go camping out to Connecticut. And he told me, and I'm getting to the success and part of this, is that he said that, you know, I was interested in magic when I was very young, and I tried to hypnotize him apparently when I was 12. Now, I've been a clinical hypnotist and won awards as a performing hypnotist for 30-some years. And he just told me this. I said, I had no idea, but I also love nature. I dreamt about acting. I was always trying to help people. And more than that, I think I was always trying to both educate and entertain. So that being said, I was had a little magic show that was very successful when I was 12. And at 13, I was in the pulpit. Now, I that's good news and bad news because I've absolutely run away from religion, but I was raised with an iron hand in the Midwest, and but nevertheless, I love performing in the pulpit.
you just loved performing, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I really did. And then what saved my sanity is when I was a sophomore in high school, I took a drama class, and I was in my first play, Our Town, of course. I think everybody has done Our Town as the first play. But I knew something resonated in me. I was at home. I couldn't define any of this. I just knew I was really happy.
And again, when
I was in high school, my mother, and she didn't have much, we didn't have much money, but she subscribed to something called Fireside Theater. In fact, I just donated my collection of thousands of plays to a professional theater workshop here in Connecticut that I started to read James Baldwin. You know, I'm not an intellectual. I mean, I've worked very hard because I have ADD and dyslexia, but this is the creative aspect of the imagination is what I've always been comfortable with. And then I did some musical comedy, and that I had some huge successes at young before I went to college. So I'm giving you early successes here.
Well, I like hearing about that. You know, and it's interesting that you said you realize now that you had ADD and dyslexia. Back then, people didn't even have a clue what that was, did they?
No, they didn't. And last summer when my brother came out to camp, he's coming out June 9th this year, he brought all my report cards from both high school and grade school, and you know they all, I mean, I've got them here, and I'm probably going to scan them and put them on because they all say, here's a highly intelligent young man with a great personality who just doesn't know how to pay attention. And, you know, I mean, I was always drifting off. I got in a lot of mischief. I discovered how to make a little bomb when I was a freshman in high school in chemistry. I knew if you combine potassium chlorate and red phosphorus, and it was an unstable chemical, and you could blow it up by throwing it, which, is, by the way, is in my – I used in my book Quantum Leap Thinking because I kind of look at that as my metaphor of life, you know. So, I mean, I got in a lot of trouble when I was young, not fun stuff. And part of that was being kind of an outcast and wanting adventure, which I certainly have had.
Well, you know, I'm sure you don't look forward to going back to the class reunions, but I have a feeling, James, that everyone there remembers you.
Well, that may be true. I'm certain some of them are not in such good ways. I mean, listen, January, the way that I, you know, I was about as you know, flirtatious as an aunt, but I loved the girls, and I just didn't, we weren't really allowed to date. So my great magic trick was reaching, you know, I can tell you this now. I mean, we're talking about when I graduated in 63, so this was probably 61. My great way to, you know, win a girl was to reach under the back of her blouse and pull out a handful of cards, and then she spent the rest of the next hour trying to figure out where they came from. So
that's a great story. You know, we're going to take a break right now and hear a little bit about your host. And when we come back with James Mapes, we're going to talk about his fantastic book, Quantum Leap Thinking. We'll be right back after we have our commercial.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, James Mapes. His personal goal of living an exceptional life is reflected in both his business activities as well as his recreational pursuits, which range from scuba diving, ballooning, race car driving, Kempo karate, and world travel, an avid interest in reading. His two highly regarded books are Quantum Leap Thinking, An Owner's Guide to the Mind, and the workbook, The Magic of Quantum Leap Thinking. His new book, Imagine That, Firing Up the Brain, is scheduled for publication in the fall. And his newest two-part CD program, Patient Pre-Op, Post-Op Healing Therapy, was released this year. James, when did you start writing? And I'm sure it's become your passion now, hasn't it?
It has. I started writing in high school. I wrote little stories. I mean, I didn't think I was very bright, so my mother encouraged me, and I would write these. I've always liked thrillers, and I mean, my brother and I watch horror films, goodness sakes. But I still, you know, my wife is a movie critic, as you know, so we see the best of the best. But my childlike self likes intrigue, adventure, and mystery. So I would write little mysteries, and I was terrible writer in high school because, again, I can't, and I still can't spell, by the way.
no.
You know,
I believe that.
And But then after I got out of college, I got my master's in theater, my undergraduate in psychology, I started to write. The first thing I did is I wrote a screenplay, which never got sold, but I sabotaged myself. That was a bad memory. I was very afraid. I was a first year in New York. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no models. It was just something I wrote with passion. And so then I continued to write, but I also then, and I should say this for your listeners, or they're going to get very confused. I have four solid careers, have had four careers over the past 33 decades plus, and I have this little army of people to run them. So I'm a business speaker, and I've done about 1,500 speeches in 70 countries. I'm an author. I'm a personal coach. I'm a film actor. My first film, I did soap operas, and then my first film was Taxi Driver. And my last one was a week and a half ago, was a comedy. Both Love Me As I Am. We haven't spoken since then. And I loved it because these people that were making the movie about 2 years old, you know, they looked at me as some kind of an oracle or something. And here I'm just feeling, oh, brother. But I loved it. I really loved the energy. And I've been, you know, a performer for many years, and now venturing into producing a film. But I keep all these things kind of perk all at once. And the patient thing, there's only, I think, four big programs like this in the world. This happened out of, for 30 years I was helping people prepare for surgery by getting them to reduce their fear and create calmness, heal faster, get off narcotics sooner, and it's all percentage. I mean, it really is. It's phenomenal what the mind can do. But then I had my own heart issue 3.5 years ago, where I had open heart surgery, and I was just through completing a film, and I made a decision that I was going to create a program to help other people. And finally, we just put the video on the patient site, the patient healing therapy site, a week ago.
Okay.
And we're just now as we speak, and I planned to do this earlier, but life sometimes gets in the way, is to just start promoting this. And I've got Yale, New Haven, who is, as we speak, putting in to do a study. So there's a lot going on right now.
Oh, this is so exciting, especially since you are coming at it with passion. It's something that helps other people, and it's something that you've experienced yourself. How wonderful to have this opportunity to share patient healing therapy. Don't you feel blessed to have this opportunity?
I cannot tell you how blessed I feel to have the opportunity, how blessed I feel to have the support, because I've got the head of cardiothoracic surgery at Yale behind me 100%. I've got the head of Bridgeport Hospital in Connecticut asked me to come in and do the grand rounds. I was, by the way, you know, at my age, I was terrified, but I did it, and I created a slideshow, and I did research, and I had to make case studies, and it was talking to all the surgeons. It was a pretty high-powered group, but it was fabulous. So I picked up support from that. This is my mitzvah of life. I'm a goy. My wife is Jewish, so I throw these words around. But mitzvah is a great word. It's a service. It's a favor. And the truth in my heart is doing something like the patient thing. I can go off and mess around and make a movie, which really is of no value to anyone. So.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you, in the 1970s, that's when you became interested in the power of the subconscious mind. And here we are now in 2013, and you're applying this to help other people. You researched psychology, philosophy, neurology, and eventually hypnotherapy, neuro-linguistic programming. Tell us how this all tied in to this wonderful website that you've created now.
Well, it all is part of who I am, because the bottom line is neuroscience has taken this huge leap in the past 5 years. All the brain, the study of the brain, and it shows without any argument or debate that we are controlled by our subconscious 90%. That means only 10% of our consciousness has control. I mean, basically, I think I told you this last time, when I do a speech to corporations, again, it was about a week and a half ago, the first thing I told them was this. I said, anybody with a control issue better leave the room. Because we're basically, we cannot control our mind. However, we can influence it. We can influence the subconscious. So all this has come together by how do we influence our people in our lives in a positive way? How do we influence other people in terms of the patient program? How do I influence as a hypnotist, neuro-linguistic program is just taking all this and putting it into a science. So I studied that back in the 70s as I did hypnosis. So it's really about how through words, images, pictures, video, film to impact people and get a message across. And that is the James Mapes website is got all that in it. And I think people will find the videos interesting, and there's a lot of wonderful articles that they can read.
Well, you know, you've dealt with weight reduction, smoking cessation, the elimination of phobias, and most importantly, pain reduction for terminally ill cancer patients. But I'm kind of interested in regression techniques, and you've helped the New York City Police Department in memory recovery with witnesses and victims of crime. Tell us a little bit about how that evolved.
I will tell you. In fact, that's what the film is about. But when I did clinical hypnosis, I had an office for 12 years, and I started with weight, smoking, self-confidence, because that was kind of something everyone did. And quite frankly, I got a little bored with it. And weight's never about weight. Smoking's never about smoking. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. But then I got into working with athletics. I worked with the Green Bay Packers. I worked with tennis, golf, power lifters, created a seminar especially for power lifters about the power of the mind. And then I started to read about regression. And I said, so I took a little workshop in it, but I believe in hands-on. So I started regressing people for forgiveness issues, which I still do, letting go of things. Because what most people don't know is, number one, our memories are mostly flawed, and people don't like to hear that, but the truth is we don't record life like a video can. That's not the way we record memories. And anyone listening will also know that's true if they've ever gotten together at a family gathering or with a group of friends and you start talking about the experience you all experienced, and somebody will look at you and say, wait a minute, were you in a different life? You know, it's also why a witness in a court of law is, the witnesses are the worst. They can't, admissible evidence is, you know, but no lawyer wants a witness because we're unreliable. Well, that being said, but our memories are our memories. They influence our behavior. They influence our thinking. And by going back and kind of tinkering with those memories, you can help people release things. Now, that's the forgiveness part of it. But also, with witnesses or victims to crime, if they have seen something and recorded it unconsciously, in other words, they can't remember it consciously, by using deep relaxation, visualization, or hypnosis, which is a stupid word to begin with because it gets people going, oh, yeah, all right. Either they go, I don't believe in it, I believe in it, or they project all this myth on it. And people were hypnotized all day when we surf the web or we drive a car and watch television, read a book. So so the first time I regressed someone was it turned out to be a child abuse victim, and scared me to death. But I was able to help, and then I met a police officer who introduced me to someone. They said, "Would you be willing to come down and, you know, try this on a victim of a crime?" And it worked, and the person came up with partial license plate. And then then the reputation started to spread. And then I didn't do a lot with the police department because it was just too much work. I couldn't just do it. I had to go somewhere. But I did a lot of work with child abuse victims, and still do, and forgiveness issues and letting go issues by regression therapy. So it's fascinating.
It is fascinating, and I'm sure everyone listening is enthralled with this. However, we're going to take a brief break and have a commercial. And when we come back, I would like to talk about quantum leap thinking with James Mates.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope everyone listening, if you aren't socially fit, I hope you will become socially fit with me this year. My guest, I'm talking to James Mates, and he's the author of Quantum Leap Thinking, An Owner's Guide to the Mind. He's a recognized business speaker and performance coach, and he has spoken to hundreds of public and private companies in more than 70 countries. His clients include financial institutions, software companies, the military, healthcare industry, financial institutions, training and development divisions of large corporations, and major nonprofits. Companies, associations, universities, and business school trainings. IBM Corporate, U.S. Coast Guard, Lockheed Martin, the Princeton Center for Learning Training have all quoted James Mates in their training manuals and textbooks. What an amazing career. When did this career start as a business consultant?
I had a manager. This is all about relationships, I think everything is. Who was helped me build my career from 1973 as a performer and as a public seminar leader. And in 1982, we decided, he's my best friend, but he wanted to go a different direction. And he wanted me to go into business speaking. And I said, I don't like business. I really, it's too structured for me. I've had two bosses in my life. One was when I was 16 and I got fired. One was when I was 18 and I got fired. So he said, what you do is going to be incredibly helpful. Please give it a try. So I did my first corporation. I thought it was a fluke. It was successful. I called it Quantum Leap Thinking at the time. And then I trademarked the name in 82. And then I started to notice, in the prime of doing it, which I wouldn't want to do anymore, I was doing about 180 world, somewhere around the world a year. So that means
Wow. You're
gone a lot.
Yeah,
so I'm very choosy about what I do now. But what happened, I started to notice both in coaching and life that people made these sudden leaps in their life. And they say, how did that happen? That happened so fast. That happened so suddenly. Nothing happened suddenly. And I started to quiz, hundreds of people eventually about how they approached what they would call success, which is, that word is a dicey word to begin with. But what I noticed is that all the people who had this kind of leap in their life or many leaps in their life had some commonality. So I built this little graph that was like it looks like a pyramid with 14 squares balanced on top, and the three-sided pyramid is the foundation. And the foundation of Quantum Leap Thinking is creative thinking, which could take up a whole program in itself, is how to be more creative, and that's where you define the difference between imagination and creativity, because they're not the same. When you apply the imagination, then you're applying it for a goal, then it becomes creativity. Otherwise, the imagination is just something that's unfocused and usually out of control. The second was managing change, which, again, is a huge issue of how internally we're designed in our DNA to resist anything that threatens us. And then we get messed up thinking that things are threatening us that really aren't threatening us, and then we get problems with rejection and failure and all that thing. And then continuous learning. That's one of the three-sided foundations. And it isn't just saying, I want to learn. It's learning how to learn. And it's learning how to, you know, test your knowledge, you know, the idea, the theory, then test it, and then learn from failure. And then on top of that are balanced 14 points. And I'm going to go through them without stopping very long, and then you can pick anything up you want. And they're not necessarily in any order, but I put them in an order because they have to be 1 through 14. So paying attention, which is the key to communication. It's the key to focus. Two is turning fear into power. And because danger is real and fear is not. Three is to hold a vision, and that is that we are built to go after something, and that's four, and larger goals, meaning that most people, when they set a goal, they get an idea, they write it down, it's a goal. But they never stop to ask some questions. How can I make it bigger, brighter? How can I even go, how can I go make this bigger than I'm even thinking? How can I take the current view of the situation and make it a better view? I've got a little formula. I have people chant CVS to BVS, current view to better view of the situation. And you actually do, if you do it 1 minute a day and say it to yourself as fast as you can, you start to remind yourself at the oddest times, wait a minute, I just judged something, and you start to investigate it and question yourself and make it bigger. And then flexibility. You know, rigid breaks, flexibility. You, in this world, if you aren't flexible, especially this world now today, you're not going to have what you think you want. And then six is commitment. I'm very big on, I'm still a guy and probably one of the few, there used to be many of us, my word is my bond. So you don't have to write a contract with me, because if somebody comes with a better offer, I've lost a lot of money, a lot of jobs just because I said I would do something for somebody and I didn't want to, you know, betray them.
Let them down.
Seven is empowerment, which is, I don't know, it's an old word, but it's the mark of a leader. And that's, if you empower people around you, I call it the HOG principle, H-O-G, help others grow. Give them the tools, give them the knowledge, give them the support. You're going to have a team that is devoted to you. Communicate with integrity, I define. Nine is create partnership. And you're talking about one who is a loner for many years. And really, partnership is the way you get things done. And that's why crowdsourcing is so popular now.
Right.
And 10 is one of my three top values, and that's have fun. You know, and it's easy to say. But I have to tell you, and my wife knows this, is if I stop having fun, I get sad. And when I get sad, I am not creative.
Okay.
11 is take risks. 11 is take risks, which is, you know, how do you learn if you don't fail, and how do you take an intelligent risk? I mean, that has to be put in there. 12 is trust, and that's easy to say, hard to do, but you don't have the kind of bonding that I think is important with people unless they earn your trust or you give them that trust. 13 is love. I think there are only two emotions in life, love and fear, and any emotion that anyone tells me can be put in those two categories. When one exists, the other doesn't exist. It can't. Love cannot exist when you're fearful. Fear cannot exist when you are, and I don't mean being in love, just it's a way of being. And 14 is support. If I had a 15th to put in there, I would have put service. Because I left, somehow I didn't want to put an odd number in.
Well, you know, Dave, I have written every one of these down, and my show is all about sharing success. And anyone who's listening, take the time to write these points down, because this is big information. This is the important things you need to know to be successful. It's hard to choose which one. Each one, it kind of builds one on the other. Don't you agree?
That's exactly what's supposed to happen. is mm-hmm. one builds on the other. And paying attention starts at all because, listen, I wrote this, you know, I didn't write this book yesterday, but it's in this day and age, we are so bombarded with technology and email and stuff. I have a friend of mine who's a best-selling author. He's written 4 best-selling books. He won't do it. He won't do the social stuff, but I do. I mean, you go to my website, you can connect with me on anything, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, because I think that's important, too, to have a network. You know, it may not all be good, but there's enough good in it.
I know you're very available, and you put yourself right out there. And it's interesting, as I'm looking at these 14 points, I'm thinking about all the parents out there who are going to graduations, and I will be going to several graduations this coming week. This book would be a fantastic gift to give to your college or high school graduate. If they could just take the time to read these 14 points, it would sure help them on the road to success. I think this book would be a wonderful gift, James.
Well, thank you. You know, it's an odd thing that happened. I wrote this for 2 reasons, and the 2 reasons was, selfishly, I needed a calling card. I didn't expect it to get the, you know, I've got Tom Peters, I've got Anthony Hopkins, I've Joan London, I've Clive Cussler write me a letter, who's one of my top fiction writers, and say that if he had known about this years ago, he wouldn't have had to work as hard. But then I started to do shows at Hotchkiss, Choate, and Kingswood Oxford School in the area. They're all feeders for Harvard and Yale. And suddenly I got a whole new following starting about 9 years ago. And both as private clients, I have 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds coming to me and buying this book, and at the same time CEOs, and it's accessible, and there's exercises, there's thought-provoking, it's fun. It's all heavy.
It's fantastic, and I hope that all my listeners will consider this as a graduation gift. You know, we're going to take time right now and hear about a wonderful organization that I support. And when we come back with James Mace, we're going to finish up our interview. We're going to talk about what success means to him, ask him about any regrets and any advice he has for us. And I want to talk a little bit, James, about imagination. I love that word. We'll be right back with James Mace.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my wonderful guest, James Mace. You know, James, let's talk about imagination, because you are an imagination expert. And, you know, I always end my show with, if you think it, then you can do it. But for you, if you imagine it, then you did it, right?
Well, I will say more, I'm an evangelist of the imagination, because what most people don't really stop to think about their thinking is, unless we're in theta rest, we are imagining all the time. We're daydreaming. We're fantasizing. When we worry, we're imagining. When we wish harm on other people or want revenge, we're imagining. When we're fearful, we're imagining. So the reason I have embraced that word as an expert in the imagination and evangelist is I want people to use the tools that they can use, that we have from all the things that you teach, January, all is affirmations, visualization, And then combine that with action. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, The Secret was so big, and I watched it, and I've spoken at secret conventions, about The Secret. But the one thing they left out of that is, if you remember the film, the little kid dreamed about having a bike, opened the door, and there was a bike. Well, life doesn't work like that. I work my rear end off. All the time, and sometimes 10 hours a week because I love it so much. Even my wife says, hey, you slow down. I said, I don't want to slow down. How do you write a book? You know, you write a book, you want to make a movie, you want to make a patient program, you gotta work, and I also play hard. So So the imagination is central to all this. It can help us, listen, by imagining we can raise and lower our body temperature in our hands, plus or minus 9 degrees. We can, of course, slow down our heart rate. I did hypnosis demonstrations where I actually, when people hear this, they go, I don't believe it. Well, that's their choice. Raising a blister with an ice cube on a person's forearm. I used to do it for 9 years in a row with the American Medical Association. Being able to, with a suggestion in front of other doctors, take away sight from someone. Make a person perceptually blind. They don't see. They can be tested right there. They do not see. So is the person blind? Is that person not blind? Well, of course they're not, but they are. So when you understand the power of belief, which is how the imagination, that's what we use to create belief, and the power of placebo, then I get very excited about all this and all the recent brain research that's been done and how focus ignites certain parts of the brain for healing and for creativity.
Oh, this is such fascinating things to talk about, things that we've never talked about publicly before. I'm so glad that you're sharing this imagination expert. You're wonderful. Before we go, James, I also want to share with my listeners that James is going to be featured in an upcoming book that's coming out called Priceless Personalities, and I will be sharing 10 interviews from my show of 10 people that were the priceless ones, the unforgettable ones. And James, I'm thrilled to announce that you are one of those people.
I'm thrilled to be announced.
there you go. Now, briefly, could you tell us, what success means to you? Do you have any regrets and any really, really good advice?
Oh, boy. What success means to now is not what it meant to me in the 70s when I was stuck in a poverty mentality. Success to me has morphed. And that, I call it living an exceptional life now. And that means that success is having a solid relationship foundation, first and foremost, of family or friends. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't make that choice. We retain and maintain our curiosity. We surround ourselves, and this is really an important book. This is kind of my advice. Surround yourself with life enhancers. And get rid of all the people that are possible that drain your energy, that create guilt, that create this sense of need. So that's part of success. And, of course, there's a financial part because money, when it used to be about money because I didn't have anything when I grew up, I've discovered a long time ago that money is simply freedom. So freedom, it buys me the ability to take a trip. I'm going to a magic convention June 4th. I've never been to one in my life because I love magic, right? And so, being of service, knowing that somehow you make a difference. I don't care if it's volunteering down at your local communities or doing what I'm trying to do in the venue that I'm doing. So that's success. Regrets, Frank Sinatra, and I met him a number of times, by the way.
I know.
So you know that from our family history, but, you know, regrets, I have a few. But I tell you the truth, I think, you know, the minute I'm going to say this, and then I'm not so sure, I got kicked out of my first year of college because I was trapped into a revenge scenario. Somebody robbed my dorm room. So I was literally led to believe that the wrong person did it and stole something and got the crap beat out of me and got kicked out of college.
Oh,
and, but But I was going to say that's a regret, but no, it isn't, because I was a math major and a chemistry minor. I was miserable. I was hanging around in the theater department, and then I was sequestered with my aunt and uncle, who, God bless them, I love them to pieces. My second mom took me in, built a little room in their basement for me. I went to a junior college, got straight A's. So if I hadn't had that, what I was going to say was a regret, that wouldn't have happened, which then I wouldn't have been able to get a scholarship to go out and get my master's in theater and my undergraduate in psychology. So regrets, I'm not so sure. Maybe, you know, no, I don't really, I've learned from all these things. Maybe, yeah, there is one regret. I didn't tell somebody that I really loved them deeply as a friend before she passed away.
That's the real deal.
Susan and I just went back to Illinois for my father's 89th birthday, because Susan has for 25 years has set an example. Do not regret anything. Do what you need to do, so when people pass or something happens, you don't regret. You don't take the risk. I mean, you've got to ask the question, what's the worst that can happen, and am I willing to have it happen? If you're not willing to happen, don't take the risk. But the mind plays such tricks with fear that when you ask that question, you go, wait a minute, I can take being rejected, you know, or I can take losing a little money, or I can take whatever it is, you know. So risk is aliveness.
Absolutely. You know, James, I know you're going to a magic convention, but I have to share with you that for my listeners and myself, you are a magical guest, and you have shared such wonderful information with us. And thank you so much for sharing your success story, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Thank you for having me, January.
Oh, it's wonderful, and I want you back all the time. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our wonderful, wonderful show today. My upcoming guests for the rest of the week are all eclectic, energizing, and exciting, just like James. And they will amaze, amuse, and astonish you, just like James. This is a show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, struggles, and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. Or as James would say, if you imagine it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, I want all of you out there to please, please stop whining, and then start smiling and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then I want all of you to start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, James Mace, and I want all of you to go to his patienthealingtherapy.com website and check that out, especially if you know someone who is pre-op, post-op, or just recovering from some terminal illness or just trying to get better one day at a time. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my wonderful journey with James Mace, and reminding all of you out there to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.